5, if you'd like to read with us. Thank you so much for the offering. May God bless you for your giving. And again, we appreciate the hospitality of the Ray family and being allowed to be in their home. And my boy has just had such a wonderful time with the children, and we've enjoyed the fellowship with Brother and Sister Ray and precious people. And we appreciate them very much. And certainly appreciate Brother and Sister Collins allowing us to come here again, and we've enjoyed the homecoming meeting. All that God's done for us. Chapter 5 and verse 12, the book of Acts. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were with one accord, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter, notice, the shadow of Peter passing, the shadow of Peter passing by, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. My text again, the last part of verse 15, the shadow of Peter passing by. If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to preach this morning what I'm calling, I Am Afraid of My Shadow. We often hear that expression when someone's poking fun at another that is perhaps easily affrighted or easily scared. You know, maybe they don't like being in a room by themselves, or they don't like walking out into the dark. And we say, oh, they're afraid of their shadow. I wonder, what should a man fear most? Should he fear what harm could come to him? Or should he rather fear the harm that he can unknowingly do to his neighbor or fellow man? It seems to me that oftentimes we are not so concerned about as we should be the harm or the wrong that we can inflict upon another, and we not even know it. In India and many third world countries, they're very superstitious people. And many of the restaurants there line the sidewalks and the streets, and people dine at tables out of doors. And if a leprous person or an unclean person passes by, and that unclean person's shadow is cast over the table, the people will leave their table and not eat their food, because they believe that that disease, that contagion, is even transmitted by one's very shadow. When Mahatma Gandhi was leader in India, the multitudes would flock to him, and they would throw themselves into his path in hopes that his shadow would overshadow them, because they believed that something from him could be transmitted in his very shadow, and it would help them. Well, it seems to me like that our shadows do have an effect upon people. It seems like our life does have an effect upon those that are around us. Only eternity itself will tell the full length of one's shadow. Amen. Only eternity will tell, amen, the full length of our shadow, and those that we have helped, or rather those we have hurt. Amen. Peter here has a helping shadow. Peter here has a healing shadow. I wonder, what kind of shadow do we have? I want to preach to you this morning, I am afraid of my shadow because of its influence. I am afraid of my shadow because I believe that my life and my shadow affect that's my fellow man. Every soul in eternity will have a thumbprint upon it, whether it be a lost soul in hell or a saved soul in heaven. Every soul will have a thumbprint on it. I wonder, is there a soul in eternity now that has your thumb mark upon it? Is there a lost soul in hell that's there because you influenced, amen, that soul, amen, to be lost? I never will forget my dad once said, son, there's one thing worse than going to hell, and it's going to hell and taking somebody with you. Amen. Oh, what a serious thought this morning, that my life and your life is having an influence on those around us. Is it for their betterment, or is it for their harm? Do I offer the world a healing shadow, or do I offer the world a hurting shadow? It would be a good thing if a man could follow his shadow for a day. Amen. If a man could step outside of himself and see the effect that he has on those around him. My friend, we are not hid. Our lives are out in the open. Amen. We have an effect upon those around us. Amen. One poll stated that every individual has an effect upon at least 13 people. Amen. Oh, I wonder how many people does our life affect? How many individuals, amen, does our life make an impression upon? Take a pebble, throw it into the pond. Amen. The smallest ripple, amen, will break even among them against the most distant shore. It does have an effect. And I need to preach to you today that your life has an effect upon your fellow man. We're not cabined. We're not confined. We're not cloistered. We're not cribbed. We're not hid in a box. Amen. But our hearts, amen, are open and read of all men. Amen. And perhaps you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. We need to be careful of our walk. Amen. We need to be careful of our deeds, because somebody is looking at our shadow. Many years ago, I told a story about a preacher, amen, who found a nail in a skull of a coffin that had been exhumed. Amen. That man's name, I found out later, was John Doan. John Doan was a writer in his early years. Amen. He wrote ungodly literature that, amen, fought Christianity and fought God. However, in his later years, he got saved and became a preacher. But when he lay on his deathbed, remembering those books that he had wrote and literature that had been published, his last words were, "Oh God, bury my influence with me." Amen. But there are some things that are not buried. Do you hear me? Amen. There are some things that are not laid beneath the soil. And that is your influence. Peter here is having an influence upon those he passes by. The unconscious work of his shadow, amen, does more good, amen, than he could have accomplished by a definite purpose. They were people lying there on the street that needed a healing shadow. The crippled, the halt, the maimed, the diseased, the bound and afflicted, they needed a healing shadow. Listen, sir, hear me, ma'am. Just beyond these doors, there's a world out there that's broken and ruined and marked by sin, and they need a healing shadow. Amen. They need a heart of compassion. Amen. Oh, oftentimes, amen, we're like the priest and we're like the Levite, and we pass by on the other side. Amen. But that good Samaritan, he came to where he was, and he had a healing shadow. And may I preach to you today, that's what we need. The church needs a healing shadow to the world.
And how many times do we go out into the world and we have nothing to give and we have nothing to offer? I heard a man one time say, he said, a bent tree will always cast a bent shadow. And I wonder, how many times does the world look to us for help? Does the world look to us needing God and needing a Savior, and they find only a bent shadow? Oh my, what kind of shadow do we have today? Is it a healing shadow, or is it a hurting shadow? Amen. What about it? Amen. Is it a shadow that weakens, or is it a shadow that strengthens? Amen. Peter, he has a strengthening shadow. Amen. It puts life, amen, in the sick. It puts strength into their legs. They rise up healed and whole because Peter now has a strengthening shadow. Not always. You remember when our Lord spoke to Peter and said, amen, Peter, amen, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith would fail not, and after thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter does not heed the Lord's warning. He does not hearken to his admonition. He's proud and boastful and heady, and soon he finds himself, amen, with a sword in his hand. Amen. He wants to show his allegiance, amen, in his defense of his Christ, and he lops the ear off of Malchus, amen, the servant of the high priest. But that's not a strengthening shadow. That does not help the cause of Christ. Amen. Many times that's what we do in our lives. We go around cutting men's ears off, and they cannot hear, amen, by our lives and by our example. Amen. They become death, amen, to the word of God, because we have destroyed their confidence in the faith. Amen. But what Jesus done, he put the man's ear back on. For he that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. Christ wants men to hear. Amen. And so when we go out in the world, let us take heed that we heal men and do not hurt men. Can you imagine Malchus going around for the rest of his days with his ear chopped off? The stares of the children, the gawking adults that look upon him. And finally someone conjures enough courage and says, "Why, Mr. Peter, Mr. Malchus, what happened to your ear?" He reddens with embarrassment. And then he says, "Why, one of them hot-headed Christians cut my ear off." I wonder how many ears have some of we hot-headed Christians cut off. Come on now. By our example, by the life we live. Reminds me of a young Christian I knew of who had got saved, went to work, amen, quit his gambling and poker and Blu-ray, and but after about 3 weeks, he got weak and give in and played a round or two of poker during the lunch hour. And time lunch was over, he had won everybody's paycheck. And just as he was raking in all of his winnings, one of those sinner men looked at him and said, "Say, I thought you told us that you were a Christian, that you had got saved the other day." A weakening shadow. Amen. Help me while I preach. Oftentimes we are unaware of the harm we do. Amen. How we weaken the cause of Christ. Peter has a weakening shadow. Let us go a little further now. We find him outside of the court, having followed our Lord afar off, And he stands there in the flickering firelight of the enemy's fires. Amen. There, amen, a giggling girl and a crowing cock preaches to Peter that he's not near the man he thought he was. And while he stands there, amen, he denies his Lord. Hear him swearing, denying, and lying in the midst of the enemy's fire. His shadow is cast the wrong way, and he denies his Lord. And oftentimes so it is with us. In the midst of temptation, amen, our shadow is cast the wrong way, and we deny our Savior, and we deny our Lord. How is it with you today? Can I preach to you for a while? The life you live, amen, the pleasures you enjoy, amen, the pastimes you indulge in, do they strengthen the brethren, or do they weaken the brethren? Which way is your shadow directed? Which way is your life pointing? Amen, the attire that you wear, amen, the life you live, does it strengthen the message of this church, or does it weaken the message of this church? God, give us a healing shadow. God, give us a strengthening shadow. God, give us a shadow, amen, that directs men to Christ. Oftentimes, we find ourselves guilty as Peter, now having a weakening shadow, a shadow that causes men to turn away rather than turn to. What kind of shadow do you have? The artist's name was Munkowski. He gave the world that painting, Christ Before Pilate. Many people have been converted and saved looking upon that painting. A young man once left home and went to sea, stayed gone for many years. Years and years passed by. His mother prayed for his soul. After being gone at sea for many years, he came home and found his mother there still praying and awaiting his return. He only intended to stay but a day or so and then go back to sea. However, his mama asked of him a promise. She said, "Promise me that before you go to sea again, that you'll go to the museum and seek out a painting of Christ before Pilate." Good to his promise, before he went to sea, he went to the museum and he sought out that painting. And he stood there and beheld his Christ before Pilate, about to be released to the Jews to be crucified. Conviction swept over that lost seaman's soul, and he fell on his knees and gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. B.F.A. Mills, a well-known preacher of the last generation, he said of that painting, he said that if a man could take a brush and put paint on canvas and somehow win men to God, how much more could God do with us if he could have recourse with our lives? Oh, what Christ could do if he could only have free course in our life. May I ask you today, what kind of shadow do you offer the world? What kind of influence do you offer your fellow man? There's a favorite Jewish story that is told of Christ teaching his disciples around a fire. John the Beloved noticed, as the Lord was teaching the disciples there near the fire, that the Lord's shadow was falling upon the wall behind. And John picked up a piece of rock and outlined the Lord's shadow upon the wall. Soon after, the Jews in this story said that the Lord was crucified. And for years and years, men came by and they would stand there in the light and try to bend or turn themselves in such a way that they could feel the shadow of Christ, that their shadow could take take the place of that shadow. But of all the men, the most upright, the most well-to-do, amen, the religious leaders, no man's shadow could fulfill the shadow of Christ, until one day there come a man who was a humble, meek man. He fed the poor. He relieved the sick. He went about doing good. And one day, as that little humble man made his way down the street, he stopped to help someone. And the crowd noticed that it was his shadow that fulfilled the shadow of Christ. Let me preach to you today. That's why we're here, is to portray Christ to men and women. If men are to be saved, we've got to have a healing shadow. If men are to be one to Christ, if the lost is to be led, if the hungry is to be fed, if the ignorant are to be told, we've got to have the shadow of Christ. We've got to show the world who Jesus is. Give him a praise today. That's what it is. When Christ is betrayed, then men will be saved. Many years ago, my dad knew of a man that got saved. He had served God in his youth. However, he had backslid, went out into sin in this world. He had became a prosperous businessman, made a lot of money, had a large home. Out back of his home was a large in-ground pool. And so one night before he went to bed, he thought he would go for a swim. He went out back to the pool. Rather than getting down into the pool, he thought he would climb the ladder to the high dive. So he climbed the ladder and stood upon the high dive for a moment. Then he walked to the end of the board and prepared to make his dive into the pool below. He said he noticed as he lifted his left and right arms aloft that the moon was full, high, and at his back. And he said, when I lifted my arms aloft either side and looked down into the pool, he said, I noticed that the moon cast the shadow of a cross upon the pool. Because of my arms, the moon to my back. He said it was a strange place for God to speak to a man, but there, looking at that shadow of a cross, conviction fell on my heart, and I remembered the God of my youth. Brother Collins, he said he didn't take that dive, but he turned and went back down the ladder and knelt there beside the pool and wept his way back to old-time salvation. He said as he got up to leave to go to his bedroom, as he left the pool's edge, he just sort of let his leg hang over the side of the pool. And he said, much to his surprise, it came up dry. He said, I looked, I knelt down, and he said, I stuck my arm down far, and it came up dry. He said, unknowing to me, he said, the caretaker had drained the pool to clean it, and I did not know it. And I never will forget what was said of that story if I live to be 100. He said, if it had not been for the shadow of a cross, my soul would have been lost. Oh, church, there's a world out there that needs to see the shadow of the cross. There's a world out there that's looking to you and I, and they need to see Jesus Christ. I am afraid of my shadow because of its influence. The shadow of Peter. I am afraid of my shadow because it is indefinite. The shadow of Peter passing. Man is like vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Job laments and says, my days are as a shadow that declineth. I am afraid of my shadow because it is indefinite. I do not know for how long my sun will shine. I don't know how many days I have. Amen. I don't know where my little precious Ashton is this morning. We have just one son, one child, Sister Kathy and I. Oh, Brother Collins, how long have I got? How many days do I have? Amen. How many days will he walk alongside of me? How many years will God give me to offer my little boy a healing shadow? How many days will God bless me with? I am afraid of my shadow, because at any day my son, amen, may go down and my life go dark. I must do what I can while I've got a chance. I must live it right. I must talk it right. I must do my best while I have an opportunity.
Years ago, when Daddy preached up here at the highway, he preached about Job and how that he wept for days past when my children were about me. And he preached on, we've got one time around. One time around to bring our children to the house of God. One time around to make a family altar. One time around to have family devotion. One time around. Recently, Brother Mike Stillwell passed away. He's a wonderful preacher, wonderful man from down at Richlands. He attended Brother Mike Roberts' church. 40 years of age, taken out in eternity to meet God. After his passing, his son, Joe, just a young teenage boy, wrote a 2-page essay for his class in literature concerning his dad. He said, my dad was my very best friend. He told about that first deer hunt and how that they seen that deer. And his dad, he said, well, Daddy could have shot that deer. He said, but Daddy waited till I got there and he let me shoot that deer. And he said, Daddy was so proud. But I'll tell you what he said, it really spoke to me. He said, Daddy was the very best Christian that I ever knew. And he said, I want to grow up and be a Christian just like my daddy was. Oh, I am afraid of my shadow, because I don't know how long I got. I walk down the hall in a silent gloom, past each departed child's empty room. I see an unfamiliar neatness there. No clothes are flung on a floor or a chair. And I once who shouted can now only mutter, oh children, would you please come back home and make noise and clutter. Amen. But one by one they leave, one by one they're gone, and we realize that our shadows become awful short, and we do not have the influence that we one time did. That's why, parents, amen, we must do the best we can. We must be faithful to God. We must be faithful to the things of God. Amen. Charles Jefferson said, before you say it, before you do it, remember there's a little boy standing somewhere who's taking in every word and sees every deed. Oh, church, let us be careful. Amen. That we have a healing shadow, that we have a shadow that affects our children and our families for the good of the kingdom of God. Because once they're gone, they never come back. They're gone, and they're on their own. And I wonder, did we have a healing shadow? Mr. James Dobson had on his program a woman as a guest that's involved in being an activist against abortion, and she told her testimony of how that when she was a young woman, she became expectant with a child, and having no husband and having no one to care for her, she had an abortion. Many years later, she found Jesus Christ as her Savior, Now she's married and a Christian and has several children, and she's involved in anti-abortion rallies and things. And she was once preparing for a speech that she was going to give, and she was watching this video, the silent scream, where they portray an abortion of a child. And so engrossed and involved with that program, that film, she did not hear the pitter-patter of footsteps of her little tiny girl that crept into the room there. And the little girl, when she seen the picture there of that child being torn and shredded to bits, she cried out and said, "Oh, Mama! Oh, Mama! Who broke the baby?" It seems like among our churches we have a lot of broken babies, because parents said one thing in the house of God and lived another thing at home. Help me while I preach. We have among us a lot of broken babies because dad and mom come to the house of God and say that they love God and claim to be holy and Christians, and yet they fight like cats and dogs at the house. Would you help me while I preach? Amen. You see, my friend, it's one thing, amen, to profess you love God in church. It's another thing to show you love God. You love God in the home. Amen. There are two types of religions. Amen. One is creeds and the other is deeds. But the church never saved a man by quoting creeds. Amen. What the world wants to see, amen, is not our beliefs, but our behavior. It's not our doctrine, but it's our deeds. And what we must have is a healing shadow until our children would want to say, "I want to be a Christian just like my daddy. I want to be a woman of God just like my mama. I want to have the kind of religion that they've got." That's what we need, is a healing shadow. I am afraid of my shadow because it is indefinite. I am afraid of my shadow because it is irrevocable. The shadow of Peter passing by. I'm afraid of my shadow because it's irrevocable. It's easy to make an apology when once that misdeed has been done. But what of it? It's easy to say, "I'm sorry." But what of it? It seems like, my brethren, sometimes "I'm sorry" just falls pathetically short. It seems oftentimes that apology just seems like it falls so short. I wonder today, do we have a shadow that's causing hurt and harm? And in years and days to come, we may weep and regret, but that'll not change it, will it? When my dad pastored at Caledonia, Mississippi, there was an Associated Press story of a father who was out waxing his car. The phone rang. He went inside to answer the telephone. His little four-year-old boy was standing there. He wandered around in the garage, and there was a hammer laying there. The little fella, so innocent, not knowing, he came outside, and he began to tap on the side of Daddy's car with that hammer. He tapped all over the fender and down the doors, down the back. When that father came back from his phone call conversation, that beautiful automobile was just covered with dings and dents and paint flecked off. That father, and seeing what his young boy had done in such a maddened rage, jerked that hammer out of that little fella's hands, put that little boy's hand down on that concrete drive, and beat that little boy's hand until all four fingers were gone.
After some time, that father was allowed to see that little boy. He begged and cried and pleaded for forgiveness and said, "Son, I'm sorry 1,000 times. And he said, "Sugar, it don't matter how much it costs. It don't matter what it is. Whatever you want, you tell me and Daddy will get it for you." The little fella looked up with innocent eyes and said, "Daddy, could you get me 4 brand new fingers? I am afraid of my shadow because it is irrevocable. The deeds I do, the life I live, it's having an effect on somebody, and I may not be able to undo the harm. But oh, while my little boy is young, while my little boy's heart's tender, I'd like to lead him right. I'd like to be true to God. I'd like for him to have confidence in God." Tom Hood said, amen, that heaven lies about us in our innocence. Something about those young years, amen, they're so close to God. And it's up to we parents to keep their hearts near to God. How can we do that, Brother McDonald? Have a healing shadow. Amen. Live the life. Be consistent. Be the same out of the house of God as we are in the house of God. Amen. Tom Hood said, I remember the house where I was born, the little window where the sun came peeping in every morn. Every morning it came. Amen. Not a wink too soon. He said, but now, I often wish the night had borne my breath away. He said, I remember those fir trees, dark and high. I used to think their slender tops were close against the sky. 'Twas a childish ignorance, now I know. But now there's little joy to know I'm farther from heaven than when I was a boy. My God, our children get older and they move away. But while we've got them, have a healing shadow, while we have the opportunity, live the life and be the example for God. Amen. Stand with me all over this house. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I am afraid of my shadow. I am afraid lest I harm rather than heal. I am afraid lest I weaken rather than strengthen. Parent, what do you offer to your children? Dad, what do you offer to your home? Do you have a healing shadow? Does the children ever see you pray? What kind of life do you live? What do I offer to my children? What does my little boy say about me? Can your children say what Joe Stillwell said about his precious dad? My daddy was the very best Christian in the world. And when I grow up, I want to be just like my daddy. I'm afraid of my shadow. I preached to some parents this morning. You've been slack. Preach to some dads and moms. You've been slack. What about those children? Is there the shadow of the cross in your home? Is there the shadow of the cross in your life? Can the world see that? Is there someone here today? You say, "Preacher, that cross is not in my life. Christ is not supreme in my life. Christ is not Lord of my life." You need him today. You'd like to pray. Is there one in this building and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You need the Lord this morning? Is there one? We can find him at an altar of prayer here today. Is there one?
As we journey on.
Somebody here today, Brother McDonald. I've been failing as a parent. I've been failing as a wife, as a husband. I've not had that proper influence like I should.
Burdens.
How about it? I think it'd be good if we'd make us an altar all over the house, so it invites you to pray. Let's make it 100% all over the building.
Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? By the cross to lead us to that home above, where we'll see Him face to face. On the tree of sorrow, Jesus died for all, took upon Himself our dross. See Him there, I long to ever live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? Cross to lead us to that home above. There we'll see Him face to face. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. On the sea of life they toss. And teach them how to live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place?